Blog Talk Radio.
Folks stumble and fall, ain't nothing new at all. We just keep coming up with new ways of going down. Whether you're poor or rich, at the bottom of the ditch, you can finally see the light and turn your life around.
Well, hi there once again, everybody. Welcome to Mormon Vegetarian, our very first episode of 2015. I'm your host, Byron Elton, coming to you tonight, as always, from the extraordinarily beautiful Santa Barbara, California. And my co-host and dear friend, Rogan Taylor, from a little bit colder Orem, Utah. How are you doing tonight, Rogue?
Doing great. How you been?
I have been great. I've missed you. When was the last time I saw you?
Gosh, it's been a while.
Was
Probably
it the
Thanksgiving.
James, was it the James Taylor concert? No, well, Thanksgiving.
No,
that's
that was
right.
At Jim. It was Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. Yep. And I need me some Rogan time, some Rogan and Linda time. We're going to see each other in a couple of weeks up in Northern California. Really looking forward to that. And matter of fact, we should probably do a show. We'll do some interviews while we're up there. But here we are, January. We apologize to our millions of fans around the world that we've been a little radio silent for the last month or so. But we took a little bit of a break at the end of the year and coming into the new year. But we promise you it'll be worth the wait. We've got just a fantastic show today. A couple of guests that I'm really, really excited to introduce to everybody. But want to get caught up a little bit. So Rogan, how was 2014 was a great year for you.
Oh, man. We had a great time and ended it with a great trip to New York for Christmas. And yeah, it's just been great. Skiing's on, and so life's good.
Yeah, Rogan leads a very large life. I if there's anything to reincarnation, I want to come back as Rogan Taylor. For no other reason than I want to work on myself. I want to fix all my ailments. But it really was a
fabulous
year. Your
tennis game will suck, though.
But it can always get better, right?
That's right.
We should let the folks know that among all of our other common interests, Rogan and I share a great love of tennis. I've actually been playing for longer than Rogan, but he's a superior athlete, so I have no doubt that in a very short order he'll be giving me all I can handle. This would be the time to play me, Rogan. You know, my knee is still tender, and not only would this be the time to play me, but it just occurred to me, this would be the time to place a large wager on our match.
Yep.
And nothing would please me more than handing over a large sum of money to you after you beat me. So let's do that in Carmel. How's that?
All right. Big money, I'm sure.
Hey, so, you know, 2014 was also a big year in the world of plant-based, whole food, vegetarian, vegan, word of wisdom living. It was so many wonderful things that happened and great information and documentaries and people coming to the cause. So many extraordinary things that we talk about on a regular basis on our News of the Week. We'll have some more of that news this week. From the church's standpoint, I think probably the big highlight, the series of articles that our friend Jane Birch submitted and ran in Meridian Magazine about the Word of Wisdom, discovering the Word of Wisdom, which I think are just so extraordinary to have that memorialized, and that is a resource for members of the church who are looking to improve their health and live closer to the standards, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. She does such a great job, and if anybody hasn't read them, get on her website or the Meridian Magazine. They're amazing.
I'll tell you, the one thing that's done for me, and that's meridianmagazine.com, and just do a search for Jane Birch. You know, for me, it's actually got me reading Meridian Magazine again. I started reading it when they first came out because I love all things digital and thought, gee, this is a great resource. And but I got turned off because they, in my opinion at least, they were very political and very conservative. And I thought it was like, you know, foxnews.com or something. I said, oh, I don't need this. And then they turned around and asked Jane Birch to do this whole series, this very progressive, scholarly treatment of the Word of Wisdom, which I'm so impressed. So I had to kind of repent and think again about the folks at Meridian Magazine. So that was wonderful. Hey, listen, before we introduce our guests, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about the music that was playing when we first came. Do you recognize the artist?
No.
You're going to love this guy, and I'm going to turn you on to him. His name is Eric Bibb from New York City. He was the son of a legendary blues guitarist, and so he grew up, you know, in the business, and you know all the great jazz and blues legends, you know, coming to his house and whatnot. And we were in New York, speaking in New York. We were over on Roosevelt Island for some big festival was going on. They had a stage going and revolving acts. And I just happened to be walking by, and they said, please welcome Eric Bibb. And I thought, well, this will be good. And I sat down on the grass, and I'm telling you, 10 seconds into this thing, how every once in a while you'll hear something and hear something, and you go,
yeah,
where has this person been all my life, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what it was with Bibb. I immediately went back and ordered all of his albums and studied up on them. And I thought it was a particularly appropriate song. It's a song called Shingle by Shingle. He's a very gospel-oriented guy. He's quite religious and a Christian, and writes a lot of faith-affirming stuff. And it was based on an experience he'd had with a sharecropper, a guy in Alabama. He was working out in the fields, and he had a conversation with him, and the guy was patching up his roof, and he had nothing, right? But he was grateful, mm-hmm. and he was full of life, and he said, what are you doing? He says, I'm patching up my roof shingle by shingle. He said, I'm putting in my crop row by row. And he said, there's new water in the well, and I'm grateful for everything I've got. And
that's right.
Yeah, and then he goes on to talk about, hey, it's never too late to turn your life around, and no matter how dark things are. And I thought, you know, that's the way it is with a plant-based diet. You know, every once in a while you slip a little bit, and you just start over the next day. You know, as my friend... I've got a good friend in the health industry that say, listen, you slip up, go drink yourself a great big glass of cool water and start over again. That's the way we are. Well, good. Well, listen, Rogan, without further ado, I'd like to introduce our guests tonight. We're so lucky to have a fabulous young couple from Santa Barbara, California, Heather Hernandez and Jeff Hickson. And we'd like to extend a warm Mormon vegetarian welcome to Heather and Jeff. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
And I
Thanks
should
for
tell
joining
you
us.
Tell you up front that they live here in Santa Barbara. I've known Jeff since he was 11 years old. And my son and I actually home taught his family. Tanner, who I've talked about before, is now living down in Santa Monica and essentially running Amazon for... that company, and we would go over we were faithful home teachers to the Hickson family. We would go over 2-3 times a year and more often when it was necessary. And we established a wonderful friendship with the family and large family, lots of kids. Still stay in touch with his dad, who's a wonderful guy, and Maureen, and they're still here in the area. But I remember a young, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, Jeffrey Hickson, 11 years old, and he always came and sat down and listened to our stories, and we followed him ever since. And here he's all grown up and married and living back in Santa Barbara. He's doing some fabulous work in the digital space, a very exciting company, and was really encouraged to find out that Jeff was plant-based. And I said, well, you got to tell me the story. And so he told me, I said, well, you got to be on the show. So here they are to tell us their amazing story. And what we'd like to do is kind of alternate questions here. I'll ask the first question, and then Rogan's going to ask you, and then we've got a couple of segments that we'll take care of during the show. But if I can start, I'd like to start with Heather, if you don't mind. And Heather, we've had a chance to meet you a couple of times. We had you and Jeff over for dinner and hear a little bit more about your story. But I was looking for a good title for the podcast, and I came up with From Opera to Okra. Now, Heather, you have to explain to our listeners why I would come up with that title.
Well, I was performing in Italy when I was first introduced to the idea of veganism. I was performing in a show called Die Fledermaus, and there was a girl, she was the lead in the show, and I watched her eat. And I said to her, "Are you a really picky eater? Why are you not eating cheese? Like, why are you not eating meat?" And she said, "Well, I'm vegan," and you know, I had no idea what that word meant, and so she explained it to me, and I said, "Well, that's kind of weird, you know," and I started to kind of laugh at her, like, "You don't eat cheese? That's so bizarre." And she said, "Do you know how the food in our country is produced?" And I looked at her and I said, "Well, no," and she said, "You know, I think you should look into it." And I said, "Okay, all right, I'll do that." And I did. When I came back from Italy, I looked into it, and what I found was very interesting and kind of disheartening, you know, to see how our food is produced in this country, specifically eggs, meat, and dairy. And let's see, I watched Food Inc. and Forks Over Knives, and I was like, "That's it. I'm vegan." So that's kind of how I became vegan. So, yeah.
Well, that's great. So, Jeff, tell us your story.
My story is pretty similar, except for Italy and all that. But the alternative title that I was thinking about was my wife made me do it.
So are you guys married?
Heather forgot to mention that there was an Italian man in the opera as well. I think it was the son of the maestro. And he overheard Heather teasing the girl who was vegan a little bit. He said, "You know, don't laugh at her. Look at her skin. It's perfectly clear, and her eyes are clear, and she's beautiful, and she sings well." And he said, "Obviously, she's doing something right." Mm-hmm. So the Italian young man came to her defense in a pretty romantic fashion, I guess, but... So Heather came back and she did some research, and actually I remember one day she said, "We're not going to have meat in our house anymore." And I said, that was kind of hard to accept. And we both do grocery shopping, and we both cook. And so I just thought that I would just buy meat and stick it in the freezer still and whatever. And she's like, "No, if you bring meat home, I'm going to throw it away." I was like, "All right, well, can't do much to stop that." And because Heather knows that the one thing I hate more than anything else is wasting money. So mm-hmm. I reluctantly agreed to no meat in the house. And then we also, over the course of the next year, through research and trial and error, and a lot of hard work on Heather's behalf and learning a lot about nutrition and finding alternative sources of the nutrients that you'd get from meat and dairy, B12 and what's the other one we take? Omega fatty acid and things like that. We also started cutting out ice cream and milk and some of those. And the hardest one, the last one to give up, was cheese. And we cut out cheese over the course of the next year. And each kind of progression down the line was like a stab in the heart. It's like, no more milk, no more cheese. So I was kind of dragging my feet along. But over the course of time, I found myself, even when I was outside of the house, choosing of my own volition to avoid meat and dairy. And I found that not only was the food still good, but it was probably better quality, better tasting food than I'd ever eaten in my life. No offense to anybody who prepared food for me in my life, but just the consistency of the quality and the tastiness of the food was just incredible. And found that I was introduced to a lot of different types of foods, and I found that I enjoyed it more, and I was healthier, and I lost weight, and just a lot of good things. And also, you know, watching the documentaries, Fat, Sick, Nearly Dead, and... what was the other one? Oh, Hungry for Change. Mm-hmm. And the take-home message, as I was watching these documentaries, I thought that, you know, that at the end of them they were going to have some crazy thing to do as a result of all of this. The so what was going to be very drastic. And I was shocked when basically they said almost all of the documentaries, the conclusion was the same, which was, you know, we've presented this really rational information, and you should think about it and know that essentially your dollars are votes, and you can vote by what you choose in the grocery store, in restaurants, and whatever. So I studied mm-hmm. economics in college, and so that spoke to me. And so I decided that I could cast a lot more votes in favor of a more compassionate food source.
Well, that's great. Hey, so I want to get back to Heather here for a second, but Jeff, here's, and I can't believe I haven't asked you this. So, and what time frame are we talking about when Heather went plant-based and then said to you, hey, listen, this is the deal, pal, get with it. How many years ago are we talking?
Probably 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious, Jeff, knowing that you, at that point, did you remember that your old home teacher was vegetarian?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that was a big reason why I was hesitant. I was like, I don't want to end up like that guy. Carly was my age growing up, your daughter, and I remember that she was vegetarian. Actually, when I turned 16, my first date, I asked Carly on a date. We went on a group date. And I thought it was pretty considerate of me to prepare a picnic dinner that was vegetarian. But it probably just ended up showing more ignorance than anything else because it was peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Well, that qualifies. By the way, I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember that you guys are vegetarian. And obviously, your whole family is healthy and athletic, and so it was.
Did you mention a tracker?
Nice to kind of fall back on.
Well, that's good. By the way, I do not remember you asking my permission to ask out my daughter, but I'll forgive you for that. You've more than made up. Hey, so I want to get back to Heather here. So the first thing we should acknowledge, by the way, if you say you're an opera singer and you're singing in Rome, I mean, that's a big deal, right? I mean, that's kind of like saying, well, I play hockey. I say, well, where? And the guy says, well, you know, I play hockey in West Virginia. Oh, well, congratulations. I say, well, I play in Toronto, right? So, Heather, I mean, let's just, and maybe Jeff, this would be good for you too. Heather is quite an accomplished singer.
Yep.
I mean, you don't get asked to perform in the opera in Rome unless you're at the top of your game. So I think I just wanted to mention that. So here's my question for you, Heather. I'd like you to just kind of give us your thoughts about this. Heather, you were born and raised in Modesto, California, in an LDS mm-hmm. family. Mm-hmm. The name of this podcast is Mormon Vegetarian, and you know, for many of us, we say, why do you eat the way you eat? You say, well, a lot of reasons, not the least of which is this thing called Section 89 of the Doctrine and Covenants, right? Which
right.
is more famous for the smoking and drinking and whatnot. So it's always fascinating to me when we have these members of the church on and they say, well, so what turned you on to it? And they say, well, I watched Forks Over Knives, or I read Diet for a New America, or I, you know, and I say, it's fascinating. Here we are, you know, growing up, going to church every Sunday, going to seminary, studying all this, and yet the motivation wasn't perhaps the most powerful, in my personal opinion, plant-based document in existence. Was there a point where when you were kind of being exposed to this knowledge and this lifestyle, where you thought back and said, gee, I wonder if maybe that's consistent with what I was taught when I was a kid? What was your connection there?
Definitely, absolutely. I mean, when I decided to go plant-based, I went and I looked at the Word of Wisdom and I said, oh my gosh, the Word of Wisdom tells us to eat meat only in times of winter and in famine. And, you know, to me, that means you should only eat meat out of necessity, you know, and I don't have any reason to eat meat because I can get all of my nutrients from plants. So, I mean, it was very clear to me when I read the Word of Wisdom after, you know, becoming a vegetarian or you know, later becoming vegan, that that's what the Word of Wisdom was saying, that, you know, we shouldn't eat meat. So, yeah, it was definitely eye-opening, and it's kind of amazing that, you know, that's not a part of, you know, specifically, you know, stated by officials in the church that you should not eat meat. You know, like, it's in the Doctrine and Covenants, but nobody really talks about it. I was never exposed to that idea until later in life. So,
yeah,
kind of interesting.
We've talked about this on an earlier show, but we actually had an evangelical Christian on the show who does some great work with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, who had never been exposed to the Mormon doctrine, and just kind of for fun, we said, "Hey, listen, before you come on the show, I want you to read this, and then when we get on there, I want to ask you about it." And it's one of our archive shows, so we're talking about. I said, "Hey, by the way, did you read that?" And she said, "Yep." I said, "What'd you think?" And she said, "Well, number one, it reads a lot like scripture." And I said, "Yeah, well, there's a reason for that." and she was a little bit nervous coming on the show with these Mormons anyway, right? And I said, "So, but what did you think?" And she said, she made a very interesting comment, I thought. She said, "Well, it's God's diet." and it really is, right? It really is. And so sometimes, you know, we get our best knowledge and input from outside to kind of make us appreciate what we've had all along, right? Rogan?
Yeah, this question for both of you. I wondered what has been the reaction to your families, and how have they handled it, or how have you handled them in your change of diet?
Jeff, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of explaining, and I would say that we're in a pretty unique situation in that Heather finds it pretty distasteful to be around people when they're eating meat, which is really understandable. And so it's, you know, that's kind of been a big challenge because it's one thing to go to a function and just not eat the meat that's served. And it's mm-hmm. kind of a different thing altogether to avoid the functions or come late or, you know, whatever. And so I think it took a lot of explaining and a lot of private conversations, just explaining where we're coming from, why we're doing it, that we weren't judging anybody else, but it was just kind of what we were choosing to do and what we felt was right. Yeah. But in the end, I think that they accept it and they understand it. And they may not understand it perfectly, but they, if I kind of phrase it in other terms, they can wrap their minds around it. The comparison that I like to use is something like, if you had us over and we wanted to put on a pornographic film or something, you wouldn't want that to be, you wouldn't mm-hmm. want to be around that. You wouldn't come to our party if we had a pornographic film playing or something.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, but meat's, you know, that's a lot different. And it's like, well, but it isn't to us or whatever. And so, and they're like, okay, well, I guess I can understand that, you know? And so it's kind of a reticent acceptance, mm-hmm. But ultimately, you know, my family's really loving and supporting, and so they learn to live with it.
Good.
So
Heather's family actually has a pretty mixed and interesting reactions too.
Well, so my mother's a lot like me. So I came to her, you know, with this idea, and she was very sort of hesitant to take it in at first. But then, you know, I explained my side and I had her watch some documentaries and, you know, I had her go back and read the Word of Wisdom. And she was like, this makes a lot of sense. You know, this, mm-hmm. this, you know, makes so much sense to me. And she is actually mostly plant-based now. So that was really positive and really wonderful. And it's been a great experience there. And my dad, he'll eat anything. So he comes to our plant-based Thanksgivings and, you know, bless his heart, he's wonderful about being with me and eating plant-based whenever we go out. So that's really great. Mm-hmm. And then my sister and her family, they are definitely big meat eaters. So there's a little bit of tension there, but for the most part, she understands, you know, where I'm coming from. So that's good. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, it's been a very positive experience for me to tell my family about being vegan.
Yeah.
So. One of the things that I think is kind of fun about these journeys that we're all on is, you know, as we're generational Mormons and we think about the pioneers, right? And I always think, I'm always so admiring. I mean, glad I didn't have to go through that. But to feel like, you know, in this case, we're really pioneers, you know. We're the ones that people are going to look back at and say, yeah, you know, my great-grandfather Byron or Rogan discovered this some time ago. So in a culture, in a religion that really honors the pioneer heritage, we can take pride in the fact that in this case we're doing some pioneering work. Well, listen, we've been having a fabulous conversation with Heather Hernandez and Jeff Hickson. Fabulous, young, attractive, I can tell you, healthy couple from Santa Barbara, California. We're going to join them for more conversation in just a minute, but it's time for Carly's Corner.
Uh-oh, it's time for Carly Carlson. She's the vegan blogger for Oh So Delicioso, the hottest food blog in the universe. An exclusive to Mormon Vegetarian, she's here to share the latest trends, products, tasty, healthy recipes.
Well, it's a new year, 2015, and I'm sure lots of us have started new goals, and that might include going to the gym more or having a better sleep schedule or even a better schedule in general. But for my family, every year it's always the same. You try to eat healthier. And so The main place that I shop is Trader Joe's, and hopefully all of you have one of those around. But Trader Joe's is really vegan-friendly and has a lot of great frozen items, fresh food items. And to be honest, it's my favorite place to shop because of their unique food options. So I was just going to go over a list of my favorite vegan items at Trader Joe's, and then I can list them and post them on the website. And the best part about Trader Joe's is they have a lot of vegan sweet frozen sweets, like the strawberry ice cream that's non-dairy. It's made with coconut milk. It's delicious. They have vegan soy ice cream sandwiches that are really good. If you're in the frozen section, you've got to try their falafel bites. Really flavorful. I put them in pita sandwiches, or if I'm making a salad, a Mediterranean type salad, I'll put it in as like my protein for the salad. if you've ever tried their soyaki sauce, love the soyaki sauce with some stir-fried, or you can use it as a tofu marinade. We always have soyaki sauce on hand. Another one that I love is the guilt-free pita chips with sea salt. They're really light, not too dense. The ones that you get at Costco are good and yummy, but they're a little bit thick and dense. And I like these reduced guilt ones from Trader Joe's because there's 50% less fat, fewer calories, and they're a little bit lighter and crunchier for all of you hummus or dip fans. A next one that's good is the Japanese fried rice with tofu and edamame. It's in the frozen section. It's good if you don't have a lot of time on your hands and you need a quick, it has veggies in it, so if you just throw that in your skillet and then maybe saute some tofu and soyaki sauce. It's a good meal right there. They have dried lunch meals like the vegetable pad thai. It's pretty decent for a dried meal. It has a good amount of onions and sprouts on the inside. It's not restaurant worthy, but if you're on a quick hurry or you eat lunch on the go or you're at work and you need something quick, this is a good quick lunch. It's the vegetable pad thai from Trader Joe's. I love the non-dairy vanilla almond milk, soy-free from Trader Joe's, the half gallon. And my last one, I mean, there's really so many, but my last one that I like, because like, we do a lot of Mexican food at my house, and so they have this jar over by the chips and the popcorn, and it's the corn and chili tomatoless salsa, and it's like a sweet and fiery dip. And what I like to do is if I get the, they even have a black bean and corn frozen enchilada, vegan enchilada at Trader Joe's, I'll put this as the sauce on top with a little Greek yogurt and some avocado. Or if I'm going to a party, then I'll dump this whole can into a bowl. I'll add some rinsed black beans. I'll add some diced tomatoes and some diced avocado and get the blue corn chips or some pita chips, and it's divine. So easy, so yummy. So those are some of my favorite vegan Trader Joe's picks for you all to go try. And I'll try to make a list and put it on Facebook. But I hope you enjoy and that you find some new things that you love. And if I didn't mention one then that you use and love and your family loves, then please comment and let me know. I love to try new things. So happy new year and go grocery shopping at Trader Joe's. Okay, we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Well, thank you, Carly. We appreciate Carly's contributions every podcast, and that'd be actually a good question for Heather. Heather, what are your favorite places to shop?
To shop for food?
Yeah, your food.
Whole Foods is probably my favorite place to shop for food. They have tons of vegan options. But honestly, mostly I just eat fresh produce. Like that is 90% of my diet. You know, I eat fresh fruits and vegetables, and that's my favorite thing. So.
Well, good for you. Well, and of course, living in California, we're so blessed to have such great, not only fresh and a variety, but much of it organic all year round.
Oh, yeah. It's lovely.
So when you do go out, I mean, when you can't control your food completely, right, like you can at home and whatnot, do you have places, restaurants you like to go or places you like to frequent?
Yeah, definitely. So there's a Mediterranean restaurant called Zaytun in Santa Barbara, and I love their baba ganoush and their tabbouleh. It's fabulous. And there's also a place called Mesa Verde, and they offer an array of plant-based foods. And the food is very experimental and very interesting. So that's fun, too. Yeah,
Mesa Verde, actually, Rogan, is a newer. What have they been open a year so far? Maybe not even a year.
Less than that. I think it's something like 6 months. Yeah,
and it's an organic vegan restaurant. I've actually not been there. I hate to admit that. Linda's been there, said it was very good. So next time you're in Mesa Verde.
We'll have to take you sometime.
Is it a chain, all over?
No. It's a locally owned and run and use a lot of local ingredients and produce. And Linda said it was really impressive. So. It'll be a stop for you when you come here, no question. After Cafe Elton, probably the best, one of the best places in town.
All right.
So Rogue,
hey, do you guys have kids? I don't even know.
Oh no, we don't have children.
Okay, well if
we
you
have
did,
four bunnies though.
Four bunnies
and they're vegan.
Yes, four rescued rabbits.
Yeah. So if you did have kids, what would you say when people tell you you're going to stunt your kids' growth and they're not going to grow up very well?
Oh my gosh! I would tell them that I know a lot about nutrition and that I can feed them, you know, a variety of plant-based foods that will help them to grow up healthy and strong. And I am absolutely 100% confident that they will be healthy, beautiful children.
Yeah. Well,
Rogan asked the question. Yeah, because Rogan and I, we've been at this for a long time, you know, almost 30 years, 60 years between the two of us, and, you know, five kids each, and it got this a lot. A little less now. People tend to be a little more educated, but Rogan's got a house full of giants. They're all NCAA volleyball players, healthy as can be, gorgeous. My kids were all, you know, Tanner 6'4", and all the kids are athletic and whatnot. So they were all convinced that somehow these kids were going to, you know, break their leg walking to school and be 4'5", and didn't quite work out that way.
Oh, goodness.
Well, and it's funny because so many of these misconceptions are fueled by government commercials and propaganda and whatever, which is fueled in turn by the meat and dairy industries, which is pretty unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would that qualify, Jeff, in your opinion, as the evil designs of conspiring men?
Yeah, that's probably true, yeah.
I think so. Well, listen, that'd be a good segue, Rogan, to... we like to do something here. We call it kind of our plant-based elevator pitches, right? And that is that we all have these experiences where people find out, and you know, as Jim Gaffigan would probably say, right? Say, yeah, no, I'm vegan. They go, oh, well, that's one way to live your life, I suppose. So you get asked all these crazy questions, and what is your kind of go-to response? And so why don't we just fire a couple at you, right, and see how you do. So, Jeff, I mean, this is all well and good, but my goodness, where do you get your protein?
I get my protein from, well, first of all, you'd have to look at my calves because there's no shortage of protein. It's a really big leg. but from a lot of different places, quinoa, pea protein, tofu, tempeh, there's all over the place. I mean, tons of protein, potatoes.
But plant protein is
a shortage coming on. I might get a little headache. But then I just go get rice and beans or something that has protein in it, and it goes away.
Isn't plant protein though incomplete protein and not as high quality as animal protein?
Yeah, all proteins are made up of amino acids, and we have a fundamental base of amino acids that we need to stay in good health. And as long as you get all the right amino acids in your gut, you don't have to get all of them. And then there are examples of complete proteins that are non-animal, like quinoa is an example of that. It's a complete protein in and of itself. Speaking of quinoa, Trader Joe's has a delicious quinoa mushroom sushi also.
Listen, we ought to be getting some money from Trader Joe's on tonight's episode, Rogan. Okay,
good.
Rogan, you give Heather a question.
So Heather, if you're not eating dairy, how are you getting enough calcium in your life? You're going to have weak bones, aren't you?
Oh no, that's where spinach and kale and all of your deep dark leafy greens come in. You get plenty of calcium that way, so I'm not too worried about it because I definitely eat an abundance of those things.
Yeah, good.
Oh, so, there's also fortified almond milk, which is also pretty good, so there's that too.
Yeah.
By the way, I've got to have you guys over, and as you know, I make my own almond milk. And once you make your own almond milk, you'll never go back. It is just exquisite, just exquisite.
I'm excited.
You will love it, absolutely. Well, Heather, your husband was talking about you know, getting all this protein. I mean, how do you explain that? You know, the members of the animal kingdom who are so powerful. I mean, you think about like racehorses and gorillas and elephants and whatnot. I mean, you know, they eat a lot of meat, and look at they're so powerful and strong. I mean, shouldn't they be our example?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of different huge, powerful animals in the animal kingdom, and they eat plants, you know.
What? They don't eat meat?
It's true. There's lots of different examples of that. Horses and cows. Cows are enormous. And what do they eat? You know, they eat grass. And yeah, so we can definitely build muscle by not eating meat, definitely.
So, Heather, I got a question for you. In addition, obviously, it sounds like your initial exposure to this was really to be healthier, right? They talked about your colleague Skin, and you may have. As a singer, did you notice a difference in your voice and whatnot? Did that improve? Was your ability to perform?
I definitely noticed an increase in energy. So there was a time for a while where I would have to take 2-hour long naps every single day, and then after going plant based, that just completely went away. So definitely my increase of energy made me a better performer, definitely. But it actually wasn't health related. I'm an animal lover, first and foremost. And when I was exposed to how animals were being treated in animal agriculture, I actually had nightmares, like actual nightmares for months. And that's really what triggered, you know, my whole interest in being plant-based. So,
how about the environmental aspect of it?
Oh my gosh, that it's awful. I mean, global warming. This is a topic. So you know, we are cutting down rainforests to put soy and corn so that we can feed it to these animals, and it's just a waste of resources and a waste of land, and we don't have to do that. And water, I mean, it takes so much water to give to all of these animals that we're using for meat and for dairy and for eggs, and it's just so wasteful and awful, and it breaks my heart. So,
Well, thank you for sharing that. We actually are going to go into our next segment here and then finish up with you guys the last 10 minutes or so of our podcast tonight. And it's something we like to call Mormon News of the Week, and that's where Rogan and I keep our eyes peeled during the week or between podcasts to find particularly interesting articles or information. I would play our little intro to this, but it actually talks about 2014 being the year of the vegan, and I just realized that, so I'm going to have to update that. So suffice it to say, Rogan, let's go ahead and share a couple of stories apiece in terms of some interesting news that you've discovered this week.
Yeah, we were talking just a minute ago. Jeff kind of mentioned, or you talked about conspiring men. I don't know if you saw the two-part series that Dr. Greger did. It's called the Saturated Fat Studies.
I did.
One is called Buttering Up the Public, and the other is called Set Up to Sell. But he talks about how the butter industry and the cattlemen, you know, they realize that all of the research is against them, and you know, how are they going to sell their products? And so they've got together and they've hired people to do studies, and how almost corrupt these studies are. And anyway, it's a two-part series. I'll just post it on the website. That's all I had tonight.
I did read that, and it was so, I mean, every once in a while you'll come across somebody say, well, we're just going to have to disagree, right? This was so egregiously dishonest. It almost to the point where you say, this guy's going to be put in jail, you know, for So for instance, they would come out with, they say, you know, 60% more nutritious than blah, 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 only to find out that they were comparing it to, like, drinking motor oil, you know, and stuff. It was just the most dishonest. It was just ridiculous. Yeah, no, please post that, because it would be worth the time that
everybody
should read it.
Needs to see it. Yeah.
Well, I had a couple of things real quickly, and you know, it's interesting. I've been having a conversation with a good friend of mine in terms of just the point that everybody's personal journey and where we start and how we progress and where we end up. And, you know, it's a very personal thing, you know, and where you start and hopefully where you end up. And there's kind of an ideal where we'd all like to end up. But on the way there, we celebrate the little wins, you know, and the particularly on a large scale, right? And for those of you who have ever lived in the Midwest, you'll know that a real iconic fast food restaurant is White Castle. And I was never much of a burger guy, to be honest with you. And growing up in Canada, we didn't have all the McDonald's and all that, at least when I was a kid. But White Castle, if you lived in the Midwest, that was kind of the go-to. It was very, very unique product they had, which was, I think, and I'd never had one, obviously, but they had like square burgers and square buns, and they would steam them. And so they're really very soft, and the onions. And I can remember when I was working with, in my AOL years, we were working with the Saturday Night Live, and they had cast members that would have White Castle burgers flown in from Chicago, right? Because they grew up with them and whatnot. But anyway, White Castle's announced that they are going to start serving a vegan burger. And they tested it earlier last summer, and they called their Veggie Slider. And it was a huge, they had Dr. Prager, who puts out a lot of vegan stuff. And they had him make it, and it's made basically out of carrots and zucchini and peas and spinach and broccoli. And it was received very well. And what they find that a lot of people do is that they got a whole new clientele that started going to White Castle that never would have gone there before. And they've really taken it seriously. They put in special grills, you know, because they're always worried about, say, well, I know this is vegan, but what was the grill that you cooked it on, right? I don't want any kind of residue stuff. So they're putting in special grills, vegetable onlys, and special green spatulas so the people know. And I just thought to myself, you know what? That's great, you know? That'll be a good start for somebody who goes in. And that was my first piece of news. And the second one I wanted to share was the fact that how global this movement is. And the Israeli army had announced that they were offering significant vegan meals and food to all of their soldiers, male and female, who were asking for it. And even one step further, and that was, if you request non-leather boots, they now make vegan boots for their military if you ask for them. And I thought, what? It's a great time to be alive, and good things are happening.
Great.
Good things are happening. Yeah, so those are my two items for news. Well, we got about 10 minutes left in our podcast tonight. We're talking to Heather and Jeff out in Santa Barbara. Have been having a fabulous conversation about their journey to a plant-based diet, and we're just going to finish up here. So, Jeff, let me ask you this. If I were to come to you as a fellow Latter-day Saint, and maybe this has already happened to you, and say, you know, Jeff, I've heard you talk about this, and it's really interesting to me. I've had questions myself. What kind of advice could you give me if this was something that I wanted to try? How to go about it and how I might want to prepare myself? What kind of advice would you give me?
I think that I can't take credit for a lot of that side of everything. I think Heather did a ton of work in researching out everything that we need to stay healthy. But some fundamentals are make sure you're getting vitamin D. If not from the sun, then get a supplement. Get a B12 supplement and an omega-3 supplement. And then other than that, just make sure that you're eating healthy foods, because it's very easy to be vegetarian or vegan and not eat healthy. Oreos are vegan.
There's
a lot of things that you can do, but you know, just make sure that you're you have a kind of a plan ahead of time of what you're going to eat, and it just takes some disciplining. But once you kind of once you get it down, once you get into the swing of it, you'll find that the food tastes better. You'll feel healthier. You'll feel more energetic, and it's kind of like. The parallel I like to make is when Mormon kids are in high school, they have more fun than everybody else. And I remember in my high school, everybody said that the Mormon parties were always more fun because it wasn't just people getting drunk, you know, because we didn't drink and because we didn't, we followed the law of chastity. We had to kind of have this old fashioned fun with 7-Up and, you know, games or whatever. And because of those lifestyle restrictions, there's typically more creativity and more fun. And it's the same thing with diet. When you restrict certain things, you have to get creative and fun. And you'll find over time that you actually discover new foods and you try new foods that you love. And so that would be my pieces of advice.
And great advice it is. Yeah. I should put in a plug for Jeff. Linda and I were, my wife Linda and I were in charge of the Christmas party this year, last year for the award. And as an homage to our son, who is on a mission down in Mexico. By the way, Rogan, he comes home in 10 weeks. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Matter of fact, we just bought our airplane tickets yesterday to go down and pick him up. So we did Feliz Navidad. And it was a good party, wasn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, it was fun.
And Jeff came, and we had, of course, Mexican food and tamales and whatnot. And I was very proud of Jeff. He went down to Whole Foods. And he got some Beyond Meat vegan chicken and brought it and made it available for everybody. And it was all gone. I think probably just from you and I, but it was all gone. But I love Jeff's unabashed, unapologetic adherence to what he knows and believes.
That's great. Hey, this is kind of a question for both of you. Maybe it's the same answer, but if you have someone who is interested, what resources do you tell them to go study or read or look at? What's your go-to things to help people if they want to learn about it?
Well, I generally tell people to watch Food Inc. and Forks Over Knives. I don't know. What about you, Jeff?
So I think just hooking them up with a good cookbook goes a long way. Heather got a cookbook a long time ago. I think it's by Chef Chloe. I can't remember her last name. She won Cupcake Wars on Food Network. And anyway, she put out a really good cookbook. It has like all kinds of unhealthy comfort foods and stuff like that. But
no, some
delicious.
Of them are healthy.
But they're delicious, and that's the point, is that you can have this food and it can taste great.
Well, I should mention too, Heather, your response was a good one. And another one, which you've already talked about tonight, is, and this is specifically members of the church, is how about going back and reading the Word of Wisdom with new eyes, right? Like you did with your mom.
Right.
And, it's interesting. We always kind of, every year when the new curriculum comes out, right? I always, like when you're studying the Doctrine and Covenants, and I'm sure you guys are just like me, I immediately go to the Section 89 and say, okay, this year, what are they going to talk about, right? How sanitized is it going to be from the meat and the dairy and whatnot? And I get calls all the time or emails and say, oh, geez, Brother Elton, you've been at this for 30 years. I'm teaching the class or I'm teaching seminary and it's the Doctrine and Covenants and this week is the Word of Wisdom and I don't know what to do. And my response is always the same. I say, how about you say, listen, brothers and sisters, you all know how I feel about this. How about we just read the Word of Wisdom today and let's talk about it? And it's fascinating how many people, just like your mother, Heather, will say, you know what? I didn't quite look at it that way. That that makes more sense to me now, right? So, yeah, there's no mystery as to why Jane called her book Discovering the Word of Wisdom, right? Which is, I don't have to discover the Word of Wisdom. I've known it since I was a little kid, as my dad used to sing when he's a kid. He says, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't go with girls that do, right? And that was kind of the extent of it. And there's all this other stuff. And they get to those verses and they, only in times of winter and famine, it's pleasing unto me that they not be used. And then, of course, somebody will talk about the comma, and that's where you got to go back to Jane's writings and all this stuff. But your advice to your mom was a good one, Heather, and that is, how about you read the Word of Wisdom again and tell me what you think?
Byron, it's one of my favorite things to ask members of the church is, as you're talking about, is what does the Word of Wisdom say about it? And no one can come up with it. It's always, moderation in all things, or...
Which it doesn't say.
Maybe they get the sparingly thing. Maybe it's like, no, I don't think moderation's in there.
Well, certainly not moderation in cocaine and everything else, right? Actually, my favorite story about that is, and Rogan was there, is we were in Orem and we took Steve Young's mom and dad out to dinner. And wonderful, wonderful people, Sherry, and I'm sure she wouldn't mind me telling this story. And, of course, Grit's a real man. I mean, he's a manly man, and he likes his meat. And so Rogan and I order – actually, I don't know if you were there or not. Maybe it was Alex Murdoch. I think it was Alex Murdoch was with me. And we went to that Thai place that you really like in Orem. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we ordered the green curry with tofu and the whole bit. And Grit says to me, well, what the hell are you doing? And I said, well, you know, I'm a vegan. And he says, well, why? And I said, well, you know, Word of Wisdom. He says, well, that doesn't say that in the Word of Wisdom. And I said, have you read it lately? And he said, yeah. And I said, what does it say? And he says, it says right in there, beef for man. And I said, actually, Grit, I think it says wheat for man. And he said, oh, is it wheat? I always thought it was beef. Beef for man. That was a good one.
Yeah.
By the way, I just Federer just lost in the third round of the Australian Open. So you were watching that too, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
hey,
Rogan.
Did you see that Chipotle pulled the carnitas from a third of their location?
Yes, that's a good story. Well, tell us about that, Jeff. I did. Tell us that would have been good news of the week.
I just kind of read the headline. Well, I actually read the whole article, but it apparently they found out that the pork or the pigs were being raised contrary to their standards of humane standards. And just you're talking about small steps in the right direction, and that you know, ultimately in the end they're going to get killed. But the fact that they're, you know, trying to make small steps in that direction is cool. And then I think later on this week, I think it's the 26th.
Yeah, 26th. You got it.
If you get a Sofritas burrito, then you get one free, I think.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you do. I think I'm going to eat there at least three times that day because their Sofritas is amazing. And you and I have to make a date right now to go do that. But, you know, if you ever watch listen to the interviews with the founder of Chipotle, who, by the way, is a multi-billionaire, and you know, it's not obviously a plant-based restaurant, but they really take their responsibilities seriously, right? And this whole thing of pulling the pork was a big one, as you mentioned. But he said, you know, I'm not vegan. He says, but I would call myself a meat reducer, which I thought was really an interesting way to put it, right? And another step in the great direction. And that's right. This, on the 26th, you go into Chipotle, order anything with Sofritas on it, and you get another one at another time free. So God bless them. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Hey, Byron, I have one more question for Heather.
Good.
When are we going to be able to hear you sing?
Oh, I don't know. maybe I'll send in a recording sometime and you can hear me.
Hey, so here's your assignment. And by the way, Rogan, you got shot down the same way I did. I asked her to sing with me at the Christmas fireside, and I got a very polite, maybe someday we'll do that. So I'm still working on that one with Heather.
She apparently has her standards.
She has standards, that's right. And you and I apparently don't match up. But so Heather, here's your challenge. Just like Paul McCartney, you need to come up with a really cute vegetarian song, a song about being plant-based. And even if it was like 10 seconds long, just with you singing it, and send it to us, and we will use it as the open to our podcast. How's that? Is that a good assignment?
I will do that for you, Byron.
You got it. I mean, we've played Paul McCartney's Meat Free Monday, It's a Fun Day. So we would, with great pride, use your little ditty. It didn't even have to be, 10 seconds long, right, Rogan? And we'd put it on the front of our show.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, listen, kids, this has been great. Listen, I am so blessed to have these two guys in town. We had them over for dinner. We're going to do that on a regular basis. Jeff and I are going to go get some sofritas on the 26th. And we get together for healthy meals. And Heather, we want to have you come on over and sing some songs, and we're so grateful that you've taken some time with us tonight to share your story and your insights and your wisdom about this wonderful lifestyle. And diet that has blessed us in so many ways. So thank you so much for being a part of this tonight. Thanks.
Of course. Thank you
Thanks,
for having
guys.
Us.
I don't eat no meat, no dairy, no sweets. Only ripe vegetables, fresh fruit and whole wheat. I'm from the old school, my household smell like soul food, bruh. Curry falafel, barbecue tofu. No fish though, no candy bars, no cigarettes. Only ganja, fresh squeezed juice from oranges. Exercising daily to stay healthy. And I rarely drink water out the tap cause it's filthy.